It doesn't bother you that the fraternal organization to which you belong is, in effect, legislating a type of fornication or adultery, just so long as you don't get involved in it yourself.
Well, they're not authorizing it or approving it. They're just specifically stating that those people named in that part of the obligation are specifically protected.
So if you're going to do it, be sure you don't do it with a mason's wife or daughter.
I suppose you're right, Doctor.
Yeah, well, I don't know how you would look upon this, but I can tell you how God looks upon this. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery, and he doesn't specify mason's wives and daughters. It's sort of carte blanche.
Well, at a personal level, I'm not concerned.
I see. You're not going to worry about it.
I'm not going to worry about it. But it is there.
I'm also concerned with something personally that bothers me. That is, the cornerstone of Christianity, which you and I both believe, is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead.
Right.
He was resurrected.
True.
Now, we know the word resurrection in Greek and Hebrew refers to the body, to rise from a dead in one's body.
Correct.
All right. Now, in Masonry, what is the attitude of Masonry toward the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's the cornerstone of Christianity, and you're a Christian Mason.
It is not brought up in Masonry, but it is represented by the resurrection of King Hiram Abiff at the building of the temple, where he raises from the grave.
Now, what about a Jew, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindu?
Well, they don't believe in Christ anyway.
But they deny the resurrection of Christ and the deity of Christ.
Right.
Uniquely. But that doesn't bother Masonry, because they're just as welcome as the Christian is.
That's true.
This, of course, you can look upon and countenance as a Christian?
They're still my fellow man. Whether they believe the same thing and from a religious concept as I do is not the thrust of the whole thing.
You emphasize your fellow man. What about your fellow women? I understand in Masonry that you discriminate against the fair sex and that you will not permit them to have membership. Is that correct?
Well, this is not true. We have the Eastern Star, which is the women's branch of Masonry, where they take part in their activities.
Mm-hmm. But they're not permitted in the lodge. They
not,
can't participate.
Not during degree work. They are permitted in the lodge for social occasions.
Social, but not to actually partake of the brotherhood itself.
No.
Is it true that
they
women
have their own ritual that they take part in?
But you won't let them in your part?
No.
You know, something else bothers me. I was reading not long ago that Masonry discriminates against blacks.
That's not true.
Is no truth to that at all?
No, sir. I've sat in a lodge with blacks.
I see. What type of lodges and places have you been to where there are blacks? I mean, how many places have you been in Masonry? You've been in there a while. You've traveled around. You've been to Canada. You've been in the United States in many places. How many lodges do you know receive blacks?
I've been in one.
But all the rest of them don't.
The only one where I've sat in lodge with blacks was in Canada.
Not in the United States at all?
Never.
You don't think that's discrimination?
Well, they have black lodges within the United States.
So you have
all black brothers.
Oh, I see. So it's a segregated lodge system.
Yes. Those are clandestine lodges as far as Masonry is concerned.
Clandestine?
Yes, sir.
Could you explain what that means?
That if a Mason such as myself would be known to visit one of those lodges, I would be rejected from the fraternity.
So you would be punished?
That's correct.
If you went to a black lodge?
Right.
Would they be punished if they went to a white one?
It's never, to my knowledge, occurred where they've even tried to. I don't know what would happen if they approached the Tyler and to seek admittance.
In other words, hospitality is not a strong point here toward blacks.
I can't say no, because I've never experienced a situation where it's come up.
Well, it puzzles me that an organization which is known for so much social work and so much interest in the welfare of the community should discriminate so blatantly against blacks. How do you equate that? I know Masonry, and I'm not trying to knock or put down the good that Masons do. I mean, there are hospitals, there are eye clinics, you can name the things that you're involved in. All good for the betterment of mankind.
And they're They have no regard for color, creed, or religious belief.
And they establish all these works, these good works.
The hospitals and this. It doesn't matter what color a person is, their religious belief, their concepts, or their economic level. They're still accepted.
But you won't have them in the lodge.
Well, as I say, I've never been in a situation where I've seen anyone, a black attempt to come into a lodge.
Except in Canada.
Except in Canada.
And they have clandestine lodges which are all black.
Correct.
You know, something that you said, Lou, a little earlier interested me. We talked about the big G in Masonry. And we got a description from you of what this meant to you as a Christian and then what it meant to other people in other religions. But something interests me a great deal. And that is the relationship between Masonry and what is known as the theosophical branch or occultic branch of Judaism known as the Kabbalah, the hidden, secret, mysterious things which are connected with Masonry and with the world of the occult. What is your reaction to this as a Christian when you hear about the Kabbalah and the various symbols of the Kabbalah?
Well, to my knowledge, there is no connection to the Kabbalah and Masonry. Now, you mentioned the Hebrew concept. I have sat in lodge with Brother Masons who were of the Jewish persuasion and attended synagogue. But as far as Kabbalah is concerned, I have no knowledge of that.
Well, what does the letter G, which is placed over the master in the lodge, really symbolize?
Well, it's a symbol of God or of geometry.
Well, I was checking not long ago on some of the inner symbols of Masonry, which I know you're not free to discuss. So permit me to quote on this from Masonic authorities. The winding staircase is a greatly valued Masonic emblem, teaching that all knowledge, step by step, finally consummates in how to seek and find God. The letter G is suspended over the chair of the worshipful master. The FC Mason is told this represents God or geometry, which is what you just said a moment ago.
Correct.
Geometry is considered the thought form of God in nature, the craft and its symbols. The letter G, which is placed over the master of the lodge, is really a substitute for the Hebrew letter Yod, which is the Kabbalistic symbol for the creative energy represented by the point, the male sex organ in disguise. What God is this that we're talking about? The Yod, the Kabbalah, over the worshipful master's head, and you've never heard of this?
No, we in Mason, we're taught that the dot in the circle is the center of the universe, and the circle representing the bounds of our faith and the guide of our behavior and our actions.
But I just quoted Albert Pike to you, page 771. And Pike says, this is the meaning of it. It's Kabbalistic. It represents the male sex organ in disguise. And Adam is the mysterious yod of the Kabbalah, image of the Kabbalistic phallus, or sex, the erect male penis. Pike, page 771. The G of Masonry is therefore Adam.
Well, as a Mason in the lodge, we are not, that is not explained to us. Pike may have researched this and come up with that information. I don't know. I haven't read that in Pike.
Well, Pike was such an enormously accepted authority. He was buried in Washington, D.C. and received a special permit from Congress to be buried. So high was he in Masonry and so respected by senators and representatives when he died, they buried him in the Masonic headquarters in Washington, D.C. His books are in all of your lodges. He's recognized as an authority, and here he is identifying the big G with the Kabbalah, which is cursed by God and which is an attempt to try and reach God by occultic symbols. You know where this came from? I've done an awful lot of research in the area of Mormon theology and other cults. Do you know that this is almost chapter and verse, the doctrine of Brigham Young and Joseph Smith, that you have in Masonry?
I know there is a close relationship due to friends of mine that are Mormons and Masons. And they've indicated to me that there are very many similarities between the religion and Masonry.
Smith was a Mason. Brigham Young was a Mason. the three initiate levels of Masonry when they have to go through various symbols. I understand one of the symbols is the cutting of the throat, the tearing out of the tongue, if you disclose any secrets of Masonry, and then the cutting of the heart, and then the cutting of the bowels. Is this accurate?
It's true.
Well, this is in Mormonism. The same type of thing.
And not only that, aware of that.
We have a Brigham Young says, Adam is our father and our God and the only God with whom we have to do. And he borrowed it from his interpretation, obviously.
Well, if it's in Mormonism, it would apparently be so.
Well, that sort of puts you in a peculiar position as a Christian, doesn't it? How does a good Christian stay in an organization which claims to be religious, which claims the status of a church, which claims that the big G represents God, divided into any form that you want and any religion that you want, and finally draws its material from the cursed Hebrew Kabbalah, which even the Jews spit at when they mention it. How do you live with that?
Well, the Masons are not aware of all this information you've developed. They don't know this. They are not told this in the lodge.
You mean you never learned this?
No.
Would you be willing to check out the sources?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to give them to you. Albert Pike, the Encyclopedia on Masonry, on page 771, and also on the Crafts and its Symbols, attaches it to the Kabbalah. This intrigues me, because if the big G actually represents God, then how do you account for the concept of the name of God being unknown in Masonry? And let's say there were three Masons here right now, and you wanted to identify the name of God. I understand from checking your own sources on your Rituals of Freemasonry, Duncan's Ritual of Freemasonry, you're in the Royal Arch, I believe, aren't you?
That's correct.
Royal Arch degree, which is a seventh degree of the Masonic Lodge, describes the lost name of God.
True.
As J-B-O. Yabulon is the entire word. Three of you would have to pronounce that name together because the name is unpronounceable by you alone. Is that right?
That's true.
Well, the J-A-H I can understand. That's the Yah of the Old Testament for Yahweh. What does the other two represent? Or can you tell me?
I can tell you only this, that the three together represent the word that was lost when King Hiram Abiff was slain.
All right, so the name of God that was lost was Yabulon, according to these sources.
That is spoken by three people.
Three people, that's right. Seventh degree Royal Arch, that's what you're describing.
In a whisper.
In a whisper. You're supposed to just whisper it.
Not above your breath.
I think I would whisper it too, because you know what it represents?
No.
The next two syllables represent Baal and Osiris.
What's your authority for that statement?
That comes from the Ritual of Freemasonry. There's a whole page there describing JBO. Yabulon is the entire word. I quote, Yah is the only vowel and consonant we know in Hebrew for the name of God in the Old Testament. Yah or Yah, depending on the pronunciation. On is for Osiris, the pagan god of the Egyptians. Bul is for the concept of Baal. Yabulon.
That is not explained to the fellows of that degree, and I personally will be checking that to determine to see if your references are correct.
Apparently, that's what the references mean, because I've checked with a number of sources. Duncan's Ritual of Freemasonry talks about the Royal Arch degree. The seventh degree describes the lost name of God as JBO. And I checked up the JBO and found the Yabulon as the entire word, drawing upon other sources. And finally, you have to state when you get together, we three do meet and agree in peace, love, and unity, the sacred word to keep and never to divulge the same until we three, or three such as we, do meet and agree. No Royal Arch Mason can pronounce the name himself.
I didn't tell you those words.
I know you didn't, but those are the words.
You have them, but I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't tell me, but I have them.
Right.
So we're dealing with Yahweh, Baal, and Osiris. That's an unholy trinity. What concord, says Paul in 2 Corinthians, does Christ have with Belial? Satan. That's who Baal and Osiris represent. You remember when the scripture describes God's judgment on the land of Egypt? Before
yes.
he led them out. You
yes.
remember? Remember what God said? He said, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will execute judgment against the gods of Egypt. I am the eternal God.
Correct.
And the gods that he destroyed that night, as far as having any power at all, was Amun-Ra, king of the gods, and any of the pagan gods connected with the Egyptians, and any of the pagan religions, Baal, Osiris, whoever it may be, God judged. Now, how in the world can a Christian become involved in this kind of stuff? You know now these three words. That's what they represent. How can you believe it? Have you ever heard or read this statement from Albert Pike, one time Sovereign Pontiff of Universal Masonry, speaking before the Sovereign Grand Inspector General or the 33rd Degree Council? Quote, to you we say this, repeat it to the brethren of the 32nd, 31st, and 30th degrees. The Masonic religion should by all of us initiates of the high degrees be maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. Yes, Lucifer is God. Lucifer, God of light and God of good, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the God of darkness and evil. Encyclopedia of Masonry, page 730, Albert Pike. That's who your big G is, Lucifer, the Prince of Darkness.
I personally have never read that, and until I do read it and interpret it for myself, I will not accept that as truth, even though I accept Pike as a Masonic authority.
Let me ask you a question. If you found out it was true, what as a Christian would you have to do?
I would have to very seriously reconsider my position with Masonry, as well, and most importantly, my relationship with Christ.
I feel that a question constantly in my mind, and I'm sure in the minds of other Christians, particularly in the light of what we're talking about right now, should be answered. What can Masonry give you as a Christian that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God can't? Why do you need this pagan system?
Well, speaking as a Mason at this time and not being convinced that it's pagan, I say that it gives me a chance to fellowship with other Christians and to do good works and be of service to God.
But what fellowship hath light with darkness, or Christ with Satan? How could you have fellowship with other members of your brotherhood around the world, as you say you do, when they're not believers?
I'm going to have to research that. I can't answer that question.
It's very clear that Satan is the author of oaths. Jesus Christ said, let your yes be yes and your no be no, for everything else comes from the wicked one. As a Mason, you have to swear oaths. As a Mason, you have to have fellowship with people that deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. As a Mason, you have to neglect Christ. As a Mason, you have to turn away from him as the way, the truth, and the life. As a Mason, you have to go blindfolded to a door and say you're in darkness. And as a Mason, you can receive nothing that Jesus Christ, by the power of his Spirit, cannot make available to us on the highest level of biblical revelation. I've read in Masonry that you claim to have actually the priesthood of Melchizedek. Is that true?
That's true.
If you have the Melchizedek priesthood, how do you have it when Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 says, Jesus Christ alone possesses the Melchizedek priesthood, and he holds it inviolate and untransferable? In fact, the Greek word aparabatos says inviolate priesthood. He cannot give it to anybody else. Nobody can share in it. How can you possibly share in it as a Mason?
That's symbolic.
What is a symbol?
It's a symbolic of creating a better self.
What does a symbol mean to you?
It means that it's our way of improving ourself and improving our opportunities for salvation.
Just tell me what the word symbol itself means to you.
A figure, a token.
Does it represent something that's real?
No.
Well, if it represents something that's illusory, how then does it have any meaning? Illusions don't have any meaning. So it must be more than just a symbol as you understand it.
Again, I can't refute what you're saying.
We have been talking with a very unusual gentleman. A man who loves Jesus Christ as his Savior and whose deep concern is that Masons see the difference between Masonry and biblical Christianity. It's been a pleasure talking to a man that understands Masonry, been in it, and cares a great deal about people who are still in it. Luther, would you speak to us from your heart about what your Christian position and Masonry really is?
My position is that for a number of years I was deeply involved in Masonry and very active in it. And it was a means of serving God. But I made the mistake, I'm being facetious about that, of reading the Scriptures and starting to study the Scriptures and going back to the original Greek and Hebrew meanings and tracing things back to their root origins, who the letters in the Scriptures were written to and on what occasions. And it came to my knowledge that I could no longer serve God and be a Mason, that they are in direct conflict with one another, and that Masonry, while it performs many noble deeds for humanity and is good for mankind in many respects, it is very much a disservice to Christianity in the fact that it denies Christ and it denies God as we know Him, and it goes back and worships the old pagan gods. And I only pray that by being here tonight, that some Mason out there will not take my word or Dr. Martin's word about anything we've said, but if it will just pique his curiosity to the point that he can start studying the Scriptures instead of reading Masonic material and getting all involved in the Masonic works to the exclusion of serving Christ and open his mind, I think they will have to make the same decision I did, which was a painful one, to officially and formally demit from Masonry and renounce it. And that is my prayer.
That was Luther Mize, a man who I believe showed great courage today by being willing to come on this program and speak the truth about what Masonry really stands for. The simple conclusion to all of this, my friend, is that as a Christian, one cannot serve the God of the Bible and the God of Masonry at the same time in good conscience. It's absolutely impossible to function as a good Christian and still be a good Mason if we take the Bible seriously, any more than you can be a Christian and a Buddhist or a Christian and a Muslim at the same time. The God of Masonry is only a clever ruse by the God of this world, Satan, to steer a man down the wide path to destruction through good works and lip service to God. If you're a Christian and a Mason, I ask you to pray about what you heard here today. If you're a Christian and not a Mason, get this information to someone who is. Someone once said, if Jesus is worth anything, he's worth everything. I urge you to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ by defending the real gospel and by telling the Masonic Order members the errors of Masonry. Goodbye, and may the Lord richly bless you.